podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
In this episode, the differential team bites back.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 25 of the second season of Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
Oh God, you sound depressed. I'm James.
I'm a little under the weather, but not enough that's putting me off work or knocking me out of action. But yeah, a little under the weather. So, I mean, this 90 minutes, my throat's going to be done.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm thinking about my poor wife at home. Due to give birth in 6 days.
Apparently so, eh? Looks, 6 days and counting.
Looks like she should have given birth about 3 months ago. And there's you. Oh, I don't feel very fucking well. I've got two Fulham players in my FPL squad.
You're not the
squad.
One fucking pregnant, are you? Here we go. What is this? Sympathy pains. You're I love. I'm feeling the pain. So, yeah, you're not the one who's pregnant. She is.
There is
what
that,
are you having
a moan? I've got to live with it.
Listen, I've got to live with earache later today because today's Diwali. Me being a brown guy, I'm supposed to be celebrating Diwali. My mum's like, what time are you coming home for a family dinner? I'm like, I'm recording a podcast with James. Like, she's like, what's a podcast?
Happy Diwali, listeners.
Yeah, yeah. If you are listening and you're bothered. But yeah, I've got that earache to put up with later. I'm obviously not very religious, so...
Good luck.
I'm not overly fussed. So yeah, earache is my problem. Pregnant wife is James's problem, which also leads to earache.
Yeah, yeah.
Game week... 12 is over, 11's over. I don't know. Where are we? 11's over.
11's gone.
11 is over. Legs 11. And it was an interesting game week because quite a few players came in with double returns this game week. Richarlison, Hazard, Sergio, Sterling. Not Hazard, I meant Arnie. Sorry. So very interesting game week. Tell everybody how you did.
I finished on 71 points. For back-to-back 70-plus scores. I'm really pleased. I'm back up to an overall rank now, 352,000. Interesting game week rank. My game week rank was 666,000. 645. I nearly got the devil fucking twice.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really pleased to be hitting that again. And the main reasons, Captain Aguero with a nice return, Arnautovic and Richarlison, which was especially pleasing personally after I kind of fought for him last week on the pod.
Did we fight about him?
Well, no, I wasn't fighting with you about him.
I was just fighting. Just thinking there was a lot of people.
I was fighting the idea of people who'd already got frustrated with his returns and to be patient.
They were mad. They were mad. So, yeah, three players giving you double returns and one player with a single return in David Silva. Very interesting.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, four players, basically, 71 points. There were some unluckies in there as well. So Doherty, not that I gave a fuck, obviously had an assist chalked off that he should have had. Lascelles.
Who?
Lascelles.
Regular off. Listeners will know that James has been on this. I owe James a McDonald's when Lascelles bags this clean sheet and scores a goal. Which isn't going to happen anytime soon.
I was probably on for another nine-pointer there, wasn't I? Quite possibly.
Yeah.
He's the only one I would consider selling this week at the moment. Depends on his fitness. Ben Dinnery said he thinks he'll be all right for the weekend. It's obviously early. It's Wednesday now. So chances are I probably won't be making any transfers ahead of this game week. Easy for me to say when I look at my team with Salah and Mane in it before that big game against Fulham Sunday lunchtime.
Mm. 71 is a really, really good score, but there was at least 10 managers in the FPL Writers League that scored more than that. Average score this week was really high.
And our FPL footballer, Newcastle correspondent, is my cap playing. Our May Night correspondent both cleared 100.
Centurions.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, it's always nice to hit that 100 number, isn't it? It'll happen once or twice a season, but really well done.
Unless you're me, you hit 99 with a Cadbury's flake a couple of times. It's normally what I do.
Yeah, I ended up on 62, which wasn't too bad. I after the first day's matches, I was only on 21, but I did have more than half my team still left to play. Again, captaining Aguero, again, Arnautovic. And then I just had the returns from Alonso and Hazard. The difference between you and me this week, I think, was one player bringing in a return, which seems to be the way, really. Another week either side of 60. So it's been like 59, 59, 62. If you'd have told me at the start of the season, you can have after 11 game weeks, you can have an average of 60 points a game week, I would have taken that.
Well, the scores at the moment across the board are higher than what they've been in regular seasons. FPL Canal, our stato, tweeted me today and he said the top 18,500 on their average company are on course to beat last year's overall winner.
Wow.
That's a lot of people, mate, who are,
18,000. 18,500,
yeah, it's a lot. And I think one of the main reasons for it, I've highlighted it before, is the general captainers you would highlight. So Aguero was the main one this week, I think most went to.
He was the most returned, captained, for sure, yeah.
And when it's been Salah, he's normally returned. The only real one, and there wasn't that many on him, was the Kane game week 8 week. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, every time there's been the most obvious captain choices returned, and even if you think that game week 8 week with Kane, a lot of people went Hazard, and he obviously did bits at Southampton on the Sunday. You were one of them.
Yeah.
So everybody's getting really good returns off their captain. But there are a few weeks coming up where our captain choice looks difficult.
I would agree with you. I would agree
a
with you.
A few where you start looking at, say, Watford away looks like the best fixture. I think in 13, the one after the international break, I think Man City are at you. Looks probably the most obvious one. Because it's a difficult fixtures, unkind fixtures, not obvious captain choices in quite a few game weeks coming up before the new year.
I haven't scored less than 44 any game week so far this season, which is, I think, is pretty good. And I've always been in and around it. So I'm happy with the consistency, but overall not obviously happy to be 360.
What's your rank now?
368.
So it's about like 12. 16,000 and 3 points between us, is it?
2 points.
I think it is.
Yeah, 2 or 3 points between us.
Regain the lead.
You have, but you know what they say about fat ladies and singing and all that.
Don't fucking pick on her, mate.
I'm not at all. Interesting game week. Let's go through some of the fixtures, shall we?
Candy, I just want to give a quick update on the dead team and a differential.
Oh, I think we should, especially the differential team, because it doesn't get much love because it doesn't particularly do very well.
Oh my lord, the differential team had an absolute storming week. We grew, our overall rank rose 1.2 million places, which is madness, up to 2.4 million with a game week rank of 70,000 and an overall score of 88. Which mainly came about from captaining Raheem Sterling.
It was a good shout to go with Raz as captain.
With Sané in there on 14, Jimenez in there on 12, and assists for Son and Johnny. If you smash a captain score like that,
yep,
you're pissing yourself. Actually, it was, I guess most of the people who got in and around 100 may have taken that gamble. The problem for us with a differential team will be is he's already gone up 1% this week. This may unfortunately be after planning Sané, Mahrez, Sterling. Sterling's starting to get serious interest now, isn't he?
And he is.
He's getting up to about 8%. This is probably likely to be the last week we can have him, which again makes me think we should roll the transfer if we can. Everybody in that differential squad is fit. And that's also the case, which is really nice, in the dead team.
Yep.
Which is back up to 14th in who got the assist zombie league.
We had a pretty decent week, 62
after
points.
A decent week of 62 with obviously captain returns Aguero. I know Rich had a good week, a goal for Goodmanson.
Yep. That's pretty much made out the bulk of the points.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of it, if you look at that all of a sudden with you take out Aguero's points, it's a shit week, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, but not just for us, for most people. I think the game week average would drop by at least 10 points maybe if Aguero
definitely
hadn't scored what he had scored.
And more. Mm. Probably would have dropped your average about 15, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Nice to be up there.
I mean, nearly half the game would have captained him. Mm.
Definitely. So good game week overall. Interesting game week. And we move on to game week 12, which is the last one before an international break. So should we talk about some of the games?
From 11, yeah, let's run through.
Let's do it. Bournemouth 1, Manchester United 2. United leaving it late again. I think Jose wants to tear up Fergie time and replace it with Jose time, doesn't he?
He
doesn't like anyone else having the limelight or the attention, so he's now talking about Jose time.
There is an ongoing issue with United, and I think, look, some praise should be given where everyone's slaughtered them and they're starting to win games of football. however it may or may not look. They're starting games so badly, particularly away from home.
Yep.
And they don't really let themselves off the leash until they go a goal behind. I mean, by the time Martial would equalise, Bournemouth should have had the game done and finished, should have been about three up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, United deserved something out of the game. I think a draw probably would have been a fair result in the end. But they got stronger and stronger the game United, the longer the game went on United. Pogba's influence with obviously the assist for the goal gives them that extra bit of quality, and it's what he's capable of. Interesting, obviously, with Sanchez through the middle.
I think that we've got to give Jose a little bit of credit for picking the in-form players. Like, he could easily have just chucked Lukaku back into the starting lineup.
Well, Lukaku's been ruled out for tonight as well. He's not travelled to Turin.
With Martial obviously on form and scoring goals, and I really felt like Martial was a bandwagon that people were going to jump on, and it wasn't long before he was going to get rotated again. But credit to Jose, he's playing him and he keeps scoring. And whilst he keeps scoring, I think Jose will continue to keep playing Martial.
He can't leave him out. I said this last week on the pod. So many people have called for him for ages. He's getting returns. He can't leave him out at the moment. And it's a sustained run now for Martial, where the returns look pretty good, in all fairness. I don't think you're looking this week, are you, if you're not on
not against
obviously
City.
The Manchester derby on Sunday. But he's now their top point scorer, Martial, at 7.5.
Yeah, but I mean, how many has he scored this season so far?
If you look at the last four game weeks, 13, 15, 9 and 10.
What was his total score for the season?
51.
That's okay, you've got Hazard at 77.
But he's only started the last five and played just under an hour at Brighton game week two. Other than that, he's
points,
had nothing.
Points per minute, I'm sure, yeah, he's well up there.
I'd say his point, I mean, he's got three games there with there's zero. Mm. He's obviously had a couple of ones with some substitute appearances. But that's 13, 15, 9, 10. You've got to start looking at it, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. He's 7.4 million, is he?
7.5 now, Martial. And it will continue to get interest. Their run's an interesting one longer term. There's a movement now towards the group of fixtures that I've talked about a few times, particularly for Spurs and Arsenal. And it kind of changes for United as well. I mean, if you look at upcoming home fixtures, Palace, Arsenal, Fulham, Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Brighton, Burnley. Those are the run of home fixtures. Obviously, Arsenal's a difficult game. Some of the away games don't look horrible either. There's Southampton and Cardiff coming up in December. Newcastle, January the 2nd. Leicester and Fulham start of February. United are getting to the point now where we might have to start thinking about them.
Yeah, they are at that point. I think you've described it well. They're not quite there where I have to have one of their players. But if they do continue on the run that they're on, I think it's definitely worth considering. The question is who. I mean, I've always been a fan of Pogba. I think Pogba, when he's on form and United are playing well, is a really good asset. 8 million. Martial's a little bit cheaper at 7.5, you were saying now. There's quite a few people that have touted Rashford as a potential replacement for Mitrovic, who seems to be everyone's least favourite player in the game at the moment. So there are a few options there. I don't know if any one of them is going to be reliable enough for the price tag that they carry when you've got potentially other players around that offer better value. But you're right, it's that point where keep an eye on it. And if United keep continuing to perform, their fixture run does look good. Callum Wilson's been getting a lot of attention. He is now priced at 6.7. I could have bought him a week and a bit ago at 6.5, and he's had two price rises since. And the move was Mitrovic to Wilson at the time, and many people are considering that move now. The reason I didn't do it was Bournemouth's fixtures, but Josh King's out. Callum Wilson's playing through the middle. And when he's had a consistent run in the side, generally, his record is very good. So we spoke about it off air yesterday. Where do I go with Mitro? I think I'm 90% made up that it's going to be Callum Wilson.
So Josh King's rated at 50-50, I think, for the weekend at this stage as we record, which would lead me to think that he probably won't get thrown straight back in. He might make the bench at
but
Newcastle
even if he
weekend.
Did, it would be Stanislas or Brooks, in my opinion, that would lose their place ahead of
I think
Callum Wilson.
A lot on that fixture at the weekend will depend on Lascelles' fitness. I really do. We spoke about it during last season in terms of the amount of goals Newcastle ship when he does and when he doesn't play. Mm-hmm. It's clear as they've nicked a 1-0 now. We'll talk about it in a bit more, but they were a bit fortunate against Watford at the weekend, or more than a bit fortunate. And I can't get past looking off the other side of the international break and looking at them Bournemouth fixtures. Arsenal at home, Man City away. Huddersfield at home looks nice, obviously. Liverpool at home, Wolves away. Brighton at home looks nice. Then Spurs away, United away. That's their run till 2019. So what are you looking at this weekend?
Every other week.
Huddersfield at home, Brighton. You can't look at Callum Wilson as an every other week.
I was looking at him as an every other
week.
He's
likely to, before the weekend comes round, go up again.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Arnautovic both look like they're going to go through double rises this week. It's not in a consideration for me. No way would I think to
yeah,
get
I mean,
on.
Your squad structure is slightly different.
His
to mine
ownership,
anyway, but
Callum Wilson's ownership 34? By the weekend, it's about 33 now.
Yeah,
I think
I was thinking 33.
His
34.
Ownership could be more than Salah's by the time the weekend comes round.
That's pretty mental.
That's mad.
Mm.
I think if you're on, I repeat what I've said a few times, the same with like the Frasers and that. I think if you're on, I think you have every reason to hold on at the moment, but I don't think I'd be investing.
Yeah. For me, is that I've been umming and ahhing about this decision for a while, and I may be going that way. Let's move on. Cardiff 0, Leicester 1.
This was less about the football one, obviously, more
everything
about
everything else that went
of course.
Alongside.
And I think lots of credit to Cardiff for. I saw some really nice stuff where they were exchanging flags and stuff before the game. I think Cardiff dealt with the situation really well, and I think.
As did Leicester.
And of course, absolutely. Mm. And I think. You could tell the emotion come out sort of the end of the game. By the way, just a quick one on Damari Gray's booking. It's not the referee's fault, by the
way.
Yeah,
I don't think it is.
It's the fucked up laws. You could see the referee, when Gray ran past him, was smiling like he was happy for him.
Yeah.
Lee Probert, I think, is the referee.
I think the majority
it's just
of...
just a joke rule, mate.
The majority of the football nation know that the referee isn't to blame. He is getting a bit of stick, but the majority of people I've seen have said, you know what, the rule's a rule. He didn't want to do it, but he had no choice.
It's ridiculous. There has to be some common sense. For Leicester, on an FPL point of view, obviously Harry Maguire has got an injury that's potentially worrying and he's being assessed. We don't know if he'll make the weekend. That's a difference maker for Leicester. But they have a great fixture at home to Burnley this weekend, who can't kick the ball out of the net. And I don't think you should be coming off Vardy, Maddison. I saw someone put an algorithm earlier on their predictions tools, thinks Vardy will score more than Aguero over the next six game weeks. But again, I wouldn't be looking. What I would say is if you've got Maddison, haven't you? You've sold him.
I'm shaking my head. I know head signals don't work very well on
podcasts.
What
have you done?
I got rid of Maddison.
Oh, shit, you did tell me.
I got rid of James Maddison.
So hang on, you had one free transfer.
Two free transfers.
Oh, two free transfers.
Correct.
You sold Maddison for?
Ricky.
Richarlison.
Indeed.
He's such a copycat. And you've left them
says,
two.
Says the player. Who did you buy last week?
I can't remember.
Should I remind you?
Yeah, please.
Mane and Arnautovic.
Yeah, but
whose team are they in? There you go.
All right, okay. All right, fair enough. Yeah, all right. You can have that.
But yeah, I only know that because I was interested to see before the show how many players we both have that's the same. Because when I put Richarlison in and then I put Callum Wilson in ahead of Mitrovic, I haven't made that transfer, but I was about to. I was like, this is looking like a really fucking boring. It's like just template everywhere I look. I'm like, this is boring. Like, how many players do I have that just are highly owned, more than 20%? I'm just going to go with the herd and... It's safe, but it's fucking boring.
Can you talk me?
Yes.
Forget we got listeners at this end.
Yes.
Can you talk me through the logic of buying Richarlison away to Chelsea before Maddison's playing Burnley at home?
I'm not buying him for one game week. I'm buying him for the long term. So Richarlison, I've missed two price
points.
So
there's a lot of people
well.
On this debate with Maddison at the
of
moment.
Of course,
so
where do you go?
You just felt you had to come off? Because
yeah,
my
I
advice
felt,
would be don't sell this week.
Yeah, it was value-based. Richarlison was going to go up. Maddison, in my opinion, is going to go down.
So have you like, turned into me?
Make that decision before it happened.
Have you turned into
only
me?
Only because when I bought Maddison at 6.8, it was a choice of Maddison or Richarlison, and Richarlison was much cheaper at the time. Richarlison will continue to provide returns, and even if they're kind of every other week or two out of every three game weeks, it's good enough for me. So I wanted to make the move early before value changed it.
fair enough. I definitely would not be selling Madison or Vardy, or if you've got your Chilwells, Pereiras, great fixture this weekend. I think even someone like, if you haven't got the Liverpool attacking talent, I think someone like Jamie Vardy is a really good outside pick for a captain this week.
Yeah. I know. Obviously, using historical data and using teams' forms is the best way to make decisions. Looking at Burnley, you'd be like, what's going on? But if you look slightly further back in history, last season they had a really, really solid, not the second half of the season, but generally a really solid defence. I feel like Sean Dyche is going to be in the ear of the players. We can't be conceding goals like this, and they'll just close up shop. It wouldn't surprise me if Burnley really closed up shop and ended up keeping a clean sheet. It was only a few games ago that they beat Bournemouth 4-0 at home. So I don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I think Burnley are going to keep a clean sheet, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. And I don't think I'm looking too much into Burnley's recent form as to what will happen against Leicester. Obviously, for Leicester, it's their first home game, right, since what happened. So it's going to be a very interesting game, is that one.
Joe Hart, I hate to pick him out because obviously he was at one stage briefly, I think at the end of game week 6, he was briefly the top goal scorer.
Yeah, a point scorer for defenders.
For keepers, I think.
Goal scorer would be a fucking achievement. Point scorer, for sure.
He scored 8 points in the last 5 game weeks. When you're conceding goals like that, you're getting close to... The last 3 appearances are actually 1-1-1 and conceded 13 in 3 games, Burnley.
Yeah.
I think I can't see... Personally, I can't believe you come off Madison before that fixture. Mm. Sorry.
That's all right. I would remind you of something that I... I'm going to say I should have listened to you a little bit earlier in the season. Do you remember when we spoke... it was probably around about game week 5 or 6 when Madison had a run of like 4 or 5 returns in the first 4 or 5 games. And you did say, have a look at his goals. One was a late penalty, which if Vardy had been on the pitch, wouldn't have been given to Madison.
Yeah.
One was a deflection.
Wolves.
So whilst he'd got 3 goals on the board, they weren't like he wasn't taking the most
but then he scored
shots
a great free kick against Huddersfield.
So if you look at it in that context, that's 1 out of potentially 3 or 4 goals. And then he's gone on and blanked 4 or 5 weeks in a row. So I cast my mind back to that and I was thinking, okay, well, Vardy has been playing. Leicester have had a couple of decent fixtures. He hasn't returned. Now's the time to make that move.
I think the one for me is because 4 weeks or so ago, it really was, or Richarlison or Madison, one.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I didn't go on either was because I didn't know. And I got to the stage, once I'd seen Richarlison play at Leicester, ironically, up front, and went, okay, I can't let this go too far with him playing OOP. I've got to get him in the team.
Yep.
And it was a bit of a gamble, because Madison has really, until the last few game weeks, looked like he's going to be a consistent provider.
Yeah, he was a set and forget assists. For me, and now I've forgotten.
You did say that, yeah.
I did.
You can't have anyone in that price bracket that's going to be... a set and forget.
No, sadly not.
No. And he ain't going to get you enough returns. You know, I expect Richarlison to blank this weekend. I would expect Madison to return.
Yeah, possibly.
That transfer could have waited, mate.
Yeah, if I was willing to part with an extra 0.2 million. So that does put the squeeze in other areas of my squad and other moves I wanted to make.
I'd be, just to finish on Leicester, I'd be a bit concerned about them if Maguire's going to be out for a while in terms of defensive returns. But you look at the next 4, Burnley at home, Brighton away, which is a game they won last year, by the way, Watford at home and Fulham away. Anyway.
But we did know that. We knew their fixture run before this kind of run started a couple of weeks ago.
The only thing with it is it has been a sustained good run of fixtures and you don't really feel like you've got too much out of it. I don't think. I mean, the fixtures have looked all right
for
pretty much since the first 4 and there haven't been monster returns. I don't think Vardy or obviously Madison have done quite what owners would have hoped they would do, but I do not think you can come off those players this weekend.
Everton 3, Brighton 1. Richarlison obviously was the talk of the town. Maximum bonus points, double goal return, assist for Sigurdsson, goal for Coleman. Insert mustard joke here. And goal for Lewis Dunk.
Wow, literally nobody laughed at that. I tried to see that joke about 6 months ago.
You're the mustard guy. That's why you were loving I've picked a new defender and he's mustard. That was last season. Last season's joke. That's why I let it go. Go on.
A few key points on Everton. Firstly, if you think back to our correspondent Spirit Blues and when Everton were struggling early in the season and he kept saying midfield's too weak, there's no one in the midfield. They think they've got the player now in Andre Gomes, who I was really impressed with at Old Trafford and by all accounts played really well again at the weekend. He's now started the last three. They've won back-to-back home games and were a little unfortunate at certain stages at United. That's making a big difference. Now, Andre Gomes is not someone you should be considering for FPL, even at 5.4, but it does make a difference to the rest of that team. They've got a footballer in the centre of the pitch now, and that in turn makes your Sigurdsson's, Richarlison's, etc. more attractive.
Yeah.
The thing I loved most about the Richarlison return at the weekend was the type of goals that he scored. So the first one, making the run and the movement, and then hitting it first time, getting on with it. And I loved his second goal, the way he mugged off Duffy. And then when he got there, how many times last year did you see him lose composure?
Mm-hmm.
And he had it in abundance there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, he's matched his goal tally from last season now, hasn't he?
He's won more.
Oh, he's won more. It was five last season. I know it was there or thereabouts. So, no surprise there. That's another reason. I was a big fan of Richarlison last season. And obviously he faded away the second half of the season, but I've got no issue getting him back in regardless of the fixtures now.
There's no fault at the moment for me to leave him out this weekend away to Chelsea.
No.
He just plays.
Yeah,
if he's going to play up front, he just plays. One key note on Everton for this weekend, and it probably relates more to people looking at Chelsea, is Zouma is obviously ineligible, can't play against his parent club. I'm sure this poor bastard and a few others have this every fucking season. So Mina, who came on very late in the game, the big Colombian fellow who scored against England, is very likely to play his first game this weekend.
Yep. There has been eyes on that guy for a while.
Yeah, there's no idea how that's going to affect Everton. He did very briefly late in the game when he brought Mina on play a sort of back three, back five. I don't know if there's a potential movement for that for Everton longer term. It's something to watch out for. I don't think they would use that at Chelsea this weekend.
The second option behind Callum Wilson for a lot of people moving away from Mitrovic is Glenn Murray, and he's had a price rise as well. He's gone up to 6.6 from 6.5.
I could feel...
He seems very expensive at 6.6.
What, Murray?
Yeah.
But then last week, we said last week we're talking about Murray Wilson and probably going Murray over Wilson. Murray doesn't return.
Based on the fixtures.
Murray doesn't return away from home.
All of his goals are at home.
Our Brighton correspondent, FPL Seagulls, started doing a really nice one tweet, notes from the game. Because he goes to, I think, nearly all the away games as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said, Murray don't return. Murray didn't return, never returns away from home.
Yeah.
There's common ground with it. But they're at home this week. They're at Cardiff.
They are away at Cardiff, followed by Leicester at home, followed by away at Huddersfield, followed by home at Palace.
The next two home
games after that are Chelsea and Arsenal.
The fixtures, I said this about Brighton when he was having the 1-0 wins, I didn't feel like the fixtures were as good as they looked because the really easy ones away from home, and for whatever reason, they just don't travel well. No. I have no idea why suddenly Antti Knockaert's not playing, because he looked like he was having a great spell for me and looked like the player to go to. I don't know why he's not playing. They still strike me as a team that really are going to score goals from set pieces, as proven again by Dunk's goal at the weekend. And Murray's not going to get the joy and the support that he would normally get in home games, it's clear. I mean, they do very much kind of bank into a 4-4-1-1 away from home. So, whereas I think the wide players will get up in support better in home games. If you're going to go for Glenn Murray, like he's in our differential team, you ain't going to get many returns away from home, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. Newcastle 1, Watford 0. That was a surprise result, to be honest.
No, it wasn't.
Clean sheet for Newcastle.
Jamal Lascelles in the team again. They were lucky.
Did he play just Lascelles?
You're on one, aren't you?
Oh.
Are you here all week, mate?
Have you applied for that
open mic comedy night yet?
So he left the pitch at half-time, did he?
No, a few minutes before.
Ah. Uh-huh. So does that mean he doesn't get clean sheet points, right?
And that would be correct. Sorry, did I fucking kick your ass again this week?
Yes.
Hopefully he'll be back for the weekends. if he's fit, he definitely plays. On a personal...
For Newcastle or for your team? Sorry, to be clear.
Both.
Okay.
I've no problem playing him at home to Bournemouth. Yep. I haven't got a concern about it. All the numbers would tell you that's perhaps silly, but I've seen Bournemouth blank at home to Southampton.
Away at Burnley.
Yeah, quite right. Sides that give Bournemouth less time and space and particularly less room to counter-attack generally do all right in them. I said when they played Southampton that these games are more low-scoring with Bournemouth because they just haven't got the space to go and hurt teams. With what they've got, brilliant counter-attacking players now in like Fraser and Brooks, and Stanislas has come in and got the assist at the weekend. I'd have no concerns about playing themselves at the weekend. Take mm-hmm. a chance on it. It'd be me or Martod against 35% ownership of Callum Wilson. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do I get like a McFlurry as well if he nails it this weekend?
Yes. Mini McFlurry, because they're about 79p instead of £1.29. Mini McFlurry for James. If Lascelles gets double hawk figures, this is to go alongside your full extra value meal, and Callum Wilson gets me no returns, assuming I sub him in.
That said, if I hear he's out for a couple of weeks, he's getting stalled. Stalled? Sold. Yeah. My replacement would probably be John Stones, is probably the first person I would go to.
Yeah, and you've got the money in the bank to make the move.
Avoid Newcastle. I can't say any different to that, particularly if Lascelles is out, because he is a massive influence on them. It's just not enough goals in them. Perez is streaky. We know FPL footballers said that before. He is streaky. He's got a goal. He might go on a little streak because they've got decent fixtures, as we know.
Back to your original point, avoid Newcastle. Like I said it last week as well, as much as you might be able to want to look at the fixtures and say they've got a good run, they're not playing anyone from the top six until Boxing Day. No, there's nothing there at Newcastle that's of any interest at all.
I think it was go and do it brave like I was before they lost at home to Brighton.
Yeah.
And look, they've had two clean sheets in three. We said that in some point in there will be one or two Newcastle 1-0 wins
yep.
during this run up to sort of Liverpool away on Boxing Day. And there may well be another one. You look at some of these fixtures, Bournemouth at home this weekend, yourselves at home, Wolves at home, Fulham at home. They're all games that Newcastle could conceivably win 1-0. Same as Huddersfield away and Burnley away even. Wouldn't see that so much at Everton away. It's probably the toughest one they've got in there. But no, I couldn't. I feel like I went on the right one. I know FPL footballer went on Yedlin and has had a couple of decent returns there at a cheaper price. But I can't advise you to go in on them. And they were lucky at the weekend. Watford missed some seriously good chances. And I guess from then, the interesting one now is, I guess a few of the listeners will be like me and have success.
Yes. Well, he has gone up in price.
I left success on the bench in my team at the weekend. And at the moment, I'd be leaving him on the bench again at Southampton this weekend because I think if Deeney's back fit, I think Deeney will come straight back in the team. I think success, in my view, was exactly what he was that week at home to Huddersfield. The timing was right. Dip him in, dip him straight back.
He's there as an enabler and he's there to sit on your bench. And so
I definitely think you should consider him because he's gonna get minutes.
Yeah, if you're happy picking up ones and twos and then the odd return here or there. But it's kind of pointless if he doesn't get off the bench and into the team.
Why is it pointless?
No, as in whether he's getting returns or not, you want to just make sure that you're getting at least one and hopefully two from your bench players.
So if you take a scenario like mine, who's still got the wild card. Now, because I haven't used the wild card and I never went for Hazard,
mm-hmm.
which is the main reason why people have jumped value really quickly, I need to find areas in my team in other ways. So if I've got success sitting on the bench and I see plenty of people sitting with Danny Ings on the bench who scored at the weekend on their bench...
Yeah, there's a million between them.
Sit with success on my bench.
Mm. I'd rather have a cheaper player.
I say this so many times about the players like Ings, Jimenez, you feel compelled to play them.
That's the
point. Don't feel that way with success. He can fuck off and sit there. I'm not bothered.
Yeah, agreed. I think your strategy's right there. We spoke a little bit about leaky Burnley, but West Ham 4, Burnley 2. Now, I wasn't at the game because I was on holiday, but I did listen to all of the game. And to be honest, even listening to it, it was just fucking same old because we went ahead, got pegged back, went ahead, got pegged back. And both times I was like, well, there we fucking go again, really. I didn't then think, well, I did think we would go on and score again, but it's not winning with the most amount of comfort in your soul.
Do you ever win games with comfort, mate?
Yes. There was one a few weeks ago when we battered Manchester United 3-1. That was pretty comfortable.
And that's true, actually. It was very comfortable.
And we did play Macclesfield at the bottom of the Football League, and that 8-1 was pretty comfortable too.
8-0?
8-0 was, wasn't it?
8-0.
Right, yeah.
And
that game introduced us to a young man who's getting a lot of attention at the moment, and we do have some Twitter questions about him. But, well, I mean, overall, if West Ham can perform like that week in, week out, there are a few options in there that are worth considering. We've spoken about Arnie. Arnie's had a price rise. Arnie... if he plays like that, he is getting into that at 7.1 million. She's surely a must-have, if there's such a thing.
Is he must-have?
At 7.1 million. Think about his price compared to so many of the other players around.
Again, I think timing was right for me ahead of this fixture. I might have done it before the Leicester game, but there were other priorities, and then obviously we heard he was doubtful. I was really concerned about the knee injury. I had the benefit, and it really was a benefit for me, that I obviously went to the League Cup game last week and got to see him live for half hour. And for the second part of that, it didn't really matter because the game was finished and dead. But briefly, he came on and gave that whole team life, as I said when we recorded last week, when we did the video on Friday on Twitter. And I'd seen plenty of people saying online, you know, he's walking around like he's limping. I didn't see that. I saw a guy come on and really affected
things. Charge around.
He's clearly the man.
He is there. Well and truly. Anderson did well as well. Like, if Anderson's on that form, you want him. He's a good potential differential.
Anderson
for your team.
Is someone we're going to start thinking about for the differential team, I think.
Anderson's someone I'm thinking about for my main team. And the main reason why... And I alluded it to earlier because I'm fucking bored with all these same template players. I want a couple of players in and around my starting 11.
Says the guy who just sold Maddison for Richarlison.
Yeah,
and wants to sell Mitrovic for Wilson.
Yeah, I'm not doing it with a smile on my face. I'm bored. I don't want to have the same team as everyone else. So I've got enough money to turn...
My DMs are open if anyone wants to apply for this podcast.
I want to turn Schürrle into maybe Felipe Anderson. I want to see another week of returns from him, but... This is a game, right? It's supposed to be fun. I mentioned it last week as well. It's getting all too serious. I want to have a little bit of fun. And that may include getting Felipe Anderson in because when he performs, he's the creator for the team. Decent returns from him.
That said, he'd had a couple of bad games, hadn't he?
He was shite against you.
He was no better in the League Cup game, I can tell you.
Awful. I don't know why he's taking the corners.
His delivery's poor. I mean, Snodgrass is a much better deliverer of a ball from a dead ball.
Awful. So, yeah, those are the things that put you off him, but he could just as
certainly
easily...
Certainly safe in the team, particularly with Yarmolenko's long-term injury. Yep. That's not a problem. And someone else I think is safe in that team at the moment. Are you going to keep resisting this kid, mate?
No.
Diangana?
I'm not going to resist him. In the sense of, am I not going to get him in my team? I'm not going to buy him.
Well, no. Do you feel differently now about his place within the team?
Well, so we spoke about it the week that Yarmolenko got injured and Obiang was off that week. The talk that week was that Obiang would be back and fit. So I felt that he wouldn't get a starting place because Obiang would be in there and Snodgrass would take the place. Obiang didn't get fit again. That was the game against you after against you guys, right?
Yeah.
And so he start. So then he got a place in the starting 11, followed by Noble then getting himself sent off. So Obiang came in and replaced Noble because he was suspended. So Diangana continued to have his space in the squad. And he's played well for all intents and purposes. So I like the fact that Pellegrini will keep him in the team if he's playing well. I still think that at full strength, if Noble and Obiang and Snodgrass and Rice and Anderson and Anatovic are all fit...
Why are you giving all these ands like you're a great team with deep squad depth?
No, but if those players are all fit, then I don't think Diangana will potentially be... Like, he's not going to start every game between now and Christmas. So if you want, if you want to go for the punt, I'm not against it. And he is an attacking player and he is attacking, but I still don't see him as nailed on first choice.
If I knew Lascelles was definitely fit this week and I had to make a transfer, I would go Will Hughes to Diangana. I've seen enough. The only thing that would put me off is a little bit what I said in the video we recorded Friday. I've already got fucking Flapianski and Arnautovic. Do I want a third?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I want to attack him? But the fixtures in the short term, if I'm thinking I'm likely to wildcard in 4 to 5 game weeks, would I be happy to sit, play him as a 4.5 this weekend away to Huddersfield? Obviously, leave him on the bench against Man City the following in 2 weeks afterwards. But I think you could use him. The difference between him and the others in that price bracket is this guy could return in any game.
Yeah. He should have had.
He's a baller. I tell you what, he's got loads of confidence. He'd set up the second goal for Anderson. Mm-hmm. He got cleaned out. He got cleaned out, like you were going to say, for a penalty. 100%. So he's potentially looking at 2 assists. Now, he ain't going to be fortunate enough to play Burnley every week.
No.
But it's a good run.
Yeah, I'm not going to put anyone off going for Diangana. But I personally, I'm not going for him because I think over the course of the next 2 or 3 months, he'll find himself back on the bench again.
I'm not convinced. Someone always emerges.
Yeah, they do.
At that silly price that you haven't heard of, and it might be him. He might be the guy.
There'll be no one who's happier than me, and I'll definitely consider buying him. He could be this season's Milivojevic from last season, who was cheap as chips and banging in the penalties.
Diangana won't be taking penalties, mate.
No, he won't be, but he'll be providing returns at a cheap price. I then proceeded to own Milivojevic and bench him week in, week out when he was scoring his penalties.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that I won't even move from Obiang to Diangana. It's not a transfer I want to waste at the moment.
What I'm saying about this lad in is we talk about Billing a bit lately because he's having loads of efforts and goal for Huddersfield.
Yep.
But unlike the others in that 4.5, I think you can play him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that gives you, you know, room to go if you're going to 4-4-2 or something like that and you go more power somewhere else. Yeah, you know, I'd rather go and get Diangana now than Barkley. Because I don't want to chase that herd. Diangana's ownership is still 0.1%.
Yeah, there's still a lot of people won't, because you don't really want to be using your transfers on your budget players week in, week out. You want to be trying to make moves that are point scoring as opposed to that. That's why we don't want to transfer goalkeepers that often. So that's why his ownership will stay low.
No, but that's why I'd rather go, say, because, I mean, I'd be short of Barkley now. But I've got 0.8 in the bank, for example. Let's say Barkley was still 5.8. I'd be more keen to go to Diangana, make that 1.3 million in the bank, and then move off David Silva up to someone in the 9.8 bracket, or be able to upgrade to a Mendy or an Alonso. I think Diangana is someone that, honestly, you can play for the next few weeks. I think the problem with it is, and it's my biggest problem, is, do you want him and Arnautovic?
It's interesting because Diangana and Anderson, in my opinion, become less valuable without Arnautovic in the team.
That's true.
So it's like if West Ham lose Arnautovic, the other two become redundant as well. So you may as well own both or own none.
You're saying if you're going to have Diangana, well, no, you don't have to have both.
No, you don't have to, but I wouldn't own Diangana without
Arnautovic.
That Arnie fit.
But I think
fit.
But if you're on, and I've seen this, so people got, say, in a position where they've got Aguero, Wilson, and maybe Success.
Right? Yeah.
And they can't move. And they obviously don't want to move off Wilson while he's going through these price rises as well, even if they do feel it's time to come off. And I don't think many people do. Then you can fit him in, and it does cover West Ham for the immediate fixtures. I seriously think he's an option. 4.5 million.
Cheap as chips.
Huddersfield away this weekend.
He's cheap. I was going to say he's cheap as chips, but he's cheap as a bottle of water.
You'll get beat 1-0. It'd be like London buses for Huddersfield.
Let's see. Arsenal 1, Liverpool 1.
Burnley, sell, if you've got, fucking hell.
Goodmanson's still all right, shout, in my opinion.
Goodmanson's great for the dead team. The problem with Goodmanson is, and I'll get his numbers up while I'm saying it briefly, but I think I'm right in saying that the goal was only his fourth league goal. I don't mean this season. I mean
ever.
Well, in the last 18 months or so. It's normally assists. So if you're happy and you're comfortable to be getting the fives and the fours and the bits like that,
Yeah.
So
it's just scored five goals in the last two and a bit seasons.
So historically, yeah, five goals in two and a bit seasons, you're quite right. But assists, that's sizable now, 17?
Yeah.
It's not bad. But it is mainly going to be assists. I think he's delivering a set piece. And actually, notably on Goodmanson, Robbie Brady's nearly fit, and he may get some of them as well if he gets in the team. So, no, it's Sal Burnley, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Fascinating game, with a fair result at the end as well.
I think both Mane and Salah blanked. We've got plenty of questions about people thinking, all the questions are after the Fulham game, should we just keep one? Should I triple captain Salah against Fulham and what have you? Plenty of questions around Liverpool attacking assets. Arsenal, to be fair, I first think a draw is a fair result.
Fair result. Yeah, Arsenal deserved a point from the game. Both sides had really similar chances. Mkhitaryan had the header that went wide when Alisson came storming out, and then Van Dijk beat Leno at the other end. There was offside decision. The Arsenal one was very tight. I think the Mane goal probably should have stood, but I don't like that as a ruling anyway in terms of where he's placed. It was a fair result. The interesting thing about it, and this is kind of outside FPL, I think Arsenal fans have every reason to feel positive at the moment with the way their side's playing, the way the manager's got them. You can clearly see they're playing differently in terms of energy levels. I think it's probably more speaks volumes for Liverpool at the moment that they really saw that as 2 points dropped.
Yeah.
And the result last night is an absolute shocker. The fact that they lost in Serbia.
Yeah.
In the same group as PSG and Napoli, you've got to be taking 6 points off Red Star, haven't you?
So, yeah.
And they all played, like Salah, Mane. Believe that's no problem. I don't believe any of that. Oh, that means
one or t'other's going to be dropped.
Yeah, do you know what? They could. But I always look at distance between games is really important. They played at Tuesday afternoon, basically, and they play early Sunday. It's nearly 5 days break. Right. And it's an international break afterwards. So it's not like they've got to worry about the friendlies or anything like that. Salah and Mane, I believe, although they'll obviously go on international duty, the games aren't important. There's every chance they might get pulled out or something. So I'd expect Liverpool to pick their full strength side. What I'd say about Salah is triple captain, no. No, I've already had some people ask me during the week, what do you think? I think it's an option, and I'm not saying you absolutely shouldn't do it. If you believe Fulham are the worst defensive team in the league, which they look, etc. at the moment, and Salah on his day is capable of anything, then yes, you should consider it. I don't think the timing is right. I don't think we've got enough information about what will happen with fixtures after Christmas. And I think, although my plan at the moment would be triple captain in a single game week, it only takes one weekend of bad weather and everything changes from a landscape perspective. So I just think it's too early in the season when something might turn up later.
I wouldn't go with triple captaining Salah this weekend either. There's just something about this, the way that Fulham have been conceding goals, that eventually something happens to snap out of it and they end up with, they'll only concede one or two. I feel like they're going to go all out defence and Liverpool will struggle to break them down and they'll just win it 1-0 or 2-0. You know, it was after the last international break that Liverpool beat Huddersfield, right? 1-0 away.
It was
1-0. I don't know if it was the international break.
It was 1-0. I can't remember if it was international.
But yeah, and I feel like, yeah, I just think you'd expect Liverpool to score a lot against Huddersfield and they didn't. If Liverpool don't click, they don't click. They'll still win 1-2. And there's just something inside me that's like, you know what? Everyone's hyped up this game. Everyone's hyped up having double and triple Liverpool attacking assets against Fulham. And I couldn't explain it in logic because Fulham have conceded shitloads of goals. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's just a 1-0 or 2-0.
Well, I would say Salah 100% will be my captain this weekend. Not in question.
Sadio Mane will 100% be my captain this weekend.
And Sadio Mane will be my vice captain. you want to go Robertson vice captain?
I'll Grady the Ngana will be my vice captain. All right, raising the stakes.
You ain't got the cojones, mate. Not for me. Fulham have major problems in wide areas. I think Salah, if Salah was to play on the right rather than through the middle, is more chance of him doing damage at the moment. I mean, Fulham have got problems in wide areas massively.
Should we move on? We've got a few more games to get through. And then we also have quite a few Twitter questions to look at. Wolves 2, Spurs 3. Again, I listened to this game where we were out on holiday. Didn't have no Sky TV or nothing, but I did listen to it. And you got away with it.
How did it sound?
Sounded like you got away with it.
Firstly, Lamella.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, because I never talk about him. And he keeps returning at, was he
6.4?
Ownership of a shade over 1%. I think it's eight goals and three assists in 13 now, I think, if you include last night, maybe. He's having a terrific run. He was left out from the starting lineup last night, so I think he'll start Palace at the weekend. And he falls into a budget you should consider. I mentioned him as well because I watched the game at home, which is very unusual for me. I'm at home games. I go away quite often, or I'm in the pub. I watched a game at home.
There's a hotline at the moment that any minute you could be called into action.
Well, the first fatal fucking mistake, there's that. The first fatal mistake is I didn't have no beer in the house. I'll tell you, I should have got some.
Yeah.
I'm calling Lamella Coco. And who's this fucking Coco? And he plays the 1-2 with Son. And I've just screamed at her. That's fucking Coco. She nearly goes into labour. Not quite. Right. It was stressful as hell. It was the most anxious I'd been for a final whistle in a long time.
It was wave after wave of Wolves attack, it felt like.
It calmed down a bit after they scored the second.
Yeah, yeah, but it was coming. You could tell that the goals were coming. I always fear for teams that lower half of the table teams, and Wolves are not one of them because they're so high up the table. But when you have your periods of attacking play against top six sides, if you don't take your chances, it can really come back to bite you on the bum. But it was good to see them score the two goals. Now, Wolves came off the back of such a good run and then haven't had the best results in the last few fixtures, Watford, Brighton and Tottenham. But if you look at the performances and if you look at the way that the eye test, the optician's eye test, as people want to call it, there's no reason to be moving away from Wolves' assets at all.
No, there isn't.
Based on the price that they're all at, they're enablers that you're happy to play.
This is a very awkward one for the defensive assets. I think I'm going to play Doherty at Arsenal. I don't see anything there, but I just think
it's very high. He played.
I think
very
he's
high
a better
pitch.
Option than my substitute. I think he's a better option for me this weekend than Success or Hughes or whatever other Wan-Bissaka. I've just tempted fate there, haven't I? I think I'll play Doherty at Arsenal. I don't think there'll be a clean sheet, but there might be, and he's getting a massive return if there is.
Yeah.
I don't think you can come off their assets. I think it's an awkward one to play. What I would say is you say about the eye test, you listen to the game. I watched the game. Defensively, there are signs now that something Spurs exploited. We won the game basically because we exploited them at key times and were ruthless when we needed to be. Either side of half time. I think Bennett might be coming out of the team shortly, which is important because a lot of people will have him sitting there at sort of 4.1. I think Dendonka is eventually going to get in there. I think that's the reason he was bought, was to go and play in the back three. They were open in ways that I hadn't seen previously from Wolves. We were shite Saturday and
heard that before.
What's your point?
It's not the first time this season that you've
all right, you fucking asked for that, so I'm going to come back to it in a minute. We were shite. We still had untold efforts on goal. And at 3-0, I thought we were going to go on and win 4-5-0, despite not playing well at all. So did Wolves pass the eye test at the weekend? No. So you wouldn't
go from an attacking point of view,
from an attacking point of view, no, not really. Where did the two goals come from? Spurs errors, penalties.
Mm.
Neves, did you see the stat on Neves? First touch in the penalty area all season.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Was the penalty he scored.
He's dropped
down
to...
That's his only touch he's had in the box all season.
He's dropped down to back to where he started the season at 5 million.
Yeah, and he'll keep going down.
The games where Wolves have done well against lower half of the table, and also when they played against us, which I saw, they had a lot more of the possession. Now, if you look at the possession stats from this weekend, it was fairly even, 48 to 51.
That's impressive for Wolves to play against
massively.
Us and have,
I mean, I would expect top six to always be 60-plus percent.
We had 75% last night against PSV.
It's crazy. So I think that Wolves are better and more likely to keep a clean sheet when they have more of the ball, which they haven't had in the last few games. I haven't statistically analysed all of their games, not what I do, but I think if you've got games where Wolves are at home and they're likely to have more of the ball, then I think defensively they're much more stable.
I think importantly for Wolves, before I cover Spurs a bit more, is after the break is Huddersfield and Cardiff. So you're certainly not moving away.
Do you, you talked about Eric Lamella. Do you think that once Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen are fit, Lamella will keep his place? Because that's a real question for a lot of people.
I think the way it's going, the way Spurs lined up last night with Eriksen and Alli in deeper positions and Son and Lucas, and I'm not saying Son would be one of the, or Lucas, between them two and Lamella to go and fill the two spaces behind Kane. I think as the season evolves, that might be how Spurs play more and more, is with Eriksen and Alli in deep positions with a Winks or Dier and with two of Son, Lucas, Lamella behind Kane.
I mean, Dele Alli's game is about getting beyond Harry Kane and getting into the box and making those runs down the channels. So for him to be one of your deeper midfielders doesn't seem to make any sense.
We're not saying deep. What we're saying here is, and if you watch Spurs PSV last night, the way the game started was Winks basically played centre midfield by yourself. In terms of a lineup here, I'm talking more like Man City formation, like 4-1-4-1, and other than Fernandinho, they can all go and do what the fuck they want, basically.
And that makes Spurs a real attacking option. And a lot of people are looking at
so
Spurs.
So they started with Eriksen just right of Winks, Alli just left, and basically early on they both went. And the problem it gave us early on was the pitch was a nightmare. It's not an excuse because both teams had to play on it. But we couldn't, neither side could play football how they wanted to. What eventually happened, and as the recovery started, was Eriksen got deeper and deeper, which then allowed Alli more and more to just basically go and play up front with Kane. He finished the game basically off the left, Alli. It doesn't make any of those two any less of an FPL options in the longer term, because then you'd be looking to compare them to, say, sort of the positions that De Bruyne and David Silva pick up. I'm not talking about them sitting as deep line midfielders.
No, they're still attacking
midfielders. For Eriksen more, not for Alli. But Eriksen will get the numbers in other ways, like set pieces and stuff.
I really want to get Christian Eriksen into my team within the next couple of weeks. At 9.2 million, I think he's good value. But
You'll definitely be getting in that differential team.
I have no idea how to get him into my squad at the moment in terms of moving players around, other than maybe potentially dropping one of Mane or Hazard, which I don't see as logically the thing to do at the moment.
You'll join the bandwagon whenever it comes around, I should imagine.
What, so, Christian Eriksen?
To sum up Spurs, a couple of things. Yeah, Eriksen. Listen, we'll go to differential. It'll look good. Then he'll get a few returns. We'll have to sell him. Then his ownership will be up to 10%+. And then you'll decide to go in.
Yeah, but that'll be too expensive for me. I like him buy him cheap. Go on yesterday.
Like Dean Garner. Spurs. Harry Kane, yeah, importantly. Because I know I'd noticed a few questions on his position. Played right up front yesterday. As I've already kind of said, Moura was in a position where he could go and float. He didn't play centre forward as he has at times with Kane this season. 8 shots last night. 8 shots at Wolves. Remember a couple of weeks ago I said
we were talking about
his shot numbers
three,
were really down.
3 or 4.
Yeah, 16 shots in the last two. Mm-hmm. That's more like H. And again, not playing well, but we've won 3 games in 6 days. And we only played well once, mate.
End of the season.
Do you want to talk about that game at all?
End of the season.
Do you want to talk about that game at all?
You think the League Cup is when you played well, eh?
Yeah, we did play well at your place. We played better in the cup game than we did in the league game.
In the league game. At the end of the season, no one's going to remember how well you did or didn't play. They're just going to look at the points on the board. So I think it's one of those where if you're still getting the results, do it.
In the year, we put the pressure on Chelsea, and I did that in quotes for the listeners. We had a really bad sort of October, November that year, and then really kicked on going into December. And it feels a little bit similar at the moment. I think the difference actually with this year and that year as a comparison is we're actually still getting the results.
Yeah, that is a massive difference. Obviously, points on the board to tell it.
I mean, any club would take 18 points out of a possible 21 away from home, wouldn't they?
Mm. We've been talking for an hour and we've still got three games to go.
All right, move on.
We better fucking hurry up. Man City, for fuck's sake. Conceding a goal. Who the fuck do they think they are?
They feel like someone who thought they'd help out someone who hasn't got any Man City defensive ownership.
Who the fuck do they think they are? I was very seriously looking at double Man City defence with Ederson and Mendy, and I'm still considering it because they're still going to keep way more clean sheets than not. You have to have three City players the way they're looking at the moment. They're fucking just ridiculous.
With each passing week, we think more and more they're going to piss ridiculous. This league again, don't we, really?
They're ridiculous. Yeah.
Always the
Third,
same.
I don't fourth time this season they scored five or more
goals. I'm not going to tell anybody about any Man City player that you don't already know. I don't feel there's too much point covering them. Other than Aguero, at the moment I have no intention to come off, I think it's important to say. I know.
Yeah, he had another price rise recently. He's gone up to 11.4 from 11.3, I think.
And from that point of view, if you've been on the start since, like 11. I have been, then you might feel to get that point too with United at home and then West Ham away, you might feel it's a good time to come off. Thing with Aguero is any single week it could happen. The concerning would be his performances away from home at the moment in terms of his numbers. That'll quickly turn around. His consistency is unbelievable. He's now adding on top of his goal minutes, which is clearly the best in the history of the Premier League in terms of his goal per minutes, for players with, I think, plus 50 goals. He's assists now as well.
Six this season.
Yeah. How many returns? 13 returns, is it?
Yes.
In how many minutes?
801.
I mean, come on.
There's no argument with that guy.
I don't have a problem.
No, me neither. And again, he played a full 90 minutes.
Well, you say again, it was about the time, wasn't it?
But, again, compared to earlier in the season. Jesus doesn't look anywhere close to getting any kind of time.
He's out of sorts, isn't he? Yeah, so Aguero looks safe at the moment.
He does. He definitely does. I don't know. I want another City player. I just think
we all do. I think it's a little bit, it's almost comparison, say, to Madison, Richarlison. You want to go for the right one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And De Bruyne's injury.
Who is it?
Well, De Bruyne's injury has made you doubt again. So and it was always my plan, while De Bruyne's injured, I'll just sit on David Silva.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. I've got Aguero. And it's just a case then, do I want to, because I'm really thinking of coming off Salah, definitely if he doesn't perform at the weekend, do I go down to Sterling or Hazard? Is probably the choice for me. Or do I go sort of Hazard and then look at, say, Stones for Lascelles or something at the back, or Mendy, because I didn't have the money to go to a Mendy. There's different ways around it. I think it's important you make the right choice. We always say it, and we don't fucking jump between them. It's like, you know, people be selling Mahrez this week, didn't you?
Yeah.
I said it in last week's pod, didn't I? I said Sane will bang this weekend because he hadn't played for. Mahrez will probably bang against United. Yeah. It would change every week.
Same, rinse and repeat. Chelsea 3, Crystal Palace 1. Again, for fuck's sake, Chelsea. Just keep a fucking clean sheet. It's not that hard when they're at home.
Well, at least Ram owners got some sort of return here with the Alonso assist.
I don't really go on Twitter at the best of times anyway. I'll dip in and dip out for half an hour here or there. But today was the first time I discovered this Ram thing.
Oh my God, where have you been?
Exactly. Not on Twitter is the obvious answer to that question. And I watched everyone's on Ram. I now understand what Ram is all about. But yeah, again, late assist for Alonso.
Yeah, it keeps coming, doesn't it?
Mm, and why not?
Great finish from Pedro, who was the standout option to look for me. Again, regular listeners will know I've constantly had my eye on him. I owned him earlier till the injury he had earlier in the season. I think when it comes to the crunch, he'll get the nod over Willian at the moment. I think Sarri likes his style.
90 minutes this week.
Price now, Pedro?
6.3, man. He's so cheap.
Yeah, and it's the 5 million difference between him and Hazard.
Yep.
All right, you ain't going to get the fucking returns of Hazard, are you? But he will cover you up some. And I don't think you want to look at Morata, do you? Do we really... 3 goals in 2? Has he come under any consideration?
You say that you're not going to get the returns of a Hazard. Pedro's only started 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 games. He's only completed three full games, but he's still sitting on four goals and an assist. So it's every other game as a minimum. Four goals and an assist.
It's nearly a return a game, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many minutes?
481 minutes, five returns.
Yeah. That's basically a return per 90.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, Pedro's not often going to get you 90, but then you are looking at return every other week. Mm. 6.3.
Something I did play around with a couple of days ago, because I've got enough money to move from Schürrle to Pedro. It's not a big jump, 0.4
million. I think
that's
a great move.
It then means I can move from Hazard to Sterling without worrying so much about missing out on Chelsea returns, because I've got the Pedro coverage. And if I move from Hazard to Sterling, then it gives me the freedom to move away from Aguero to Lacazette or Aubameyang. And I still have the City coverage, still have Chelsea coverage, and introduce Arsenal coverage.
And you've still got Mitrovic in the fucking team.
Well, yeah, Mitrovic will then do what success is doing on yours and warm the bench up. But it was an interesting three-way move that I was looking at. I don't know how comfortable I am moving away from Eden Hazard. He's done well for me this season, but it would mean that I had coverage from all of the major sides with no financial kind of outlet.
Except Spurs.
Yeah, Spurs would be separate. I think it may even give me enough money to look at Richarlison to Christian Eriksen.
As I said earlier in the pod, there is a fixture swing coming soon. Yes. And it feels further away than it is because of the international break. Once we get after this international break, fixtures are going to come fast.
Mm-hmm. They are indeed. Let's move on to the final game of the weekend. Huddersfield 1, Fulham fuck all.
At 9:15, the missus said to me, she said, "I thought you'd be watching The Walking Dead." I said, "Don't worry, I'm fucking watching it." I tell you what, that's an hour and a half of my life. I'm never going to get back watching that game.
I'm glad I didn't watch it. I listened again to the first half.
It was, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to either, because, and it's not even their state in the league. Trust me, I watched a similar game when Spurs beat Cardiff in game week 8. It was really, really down on any form of quality.
Mm.
Which is particularly concerning for Fulham, because they've gone from this position where we thought, oh, they score some goals. Actually, they don't, do they?
No.
If you take out the four against Burnley, they've only scored about three other goals, maybe. Which, yeah, I think were probably all scored by Mitrovic, maybe.
Two against Cardiff, one against Arsenal, one against Watford, two against Brighton. They scored a few.
All right, there's a few in there. But it, you can see that the goals scored column's coming down, isn't it?
They scored against Tottenham.
Yeah, that's easy to forget. That was Mitrovic, wasn't it? I think. Yeah, it was.
But more recently, blank against Huddersfield, blank against Bournemouth,
Everton. And our correspondent, the Tinkerman, said it Monday night. Says something needs to change. Now, I don't think he was suggesting that the manager who's got them up should necessarily get sacked. But something, whether it be the system, the structure, whether they should try a back three. I think personally, you should just pick a back four and get on with it. I think you should move Sessegnon higher up the pitch. Something needs to change in that squad at the moment, or they're going to fall away. I mean, we spoke about Huddersfield Cardiff so much, saying they'll be the bottom two, and who else? Suddenly they're fucking bottom, mate.
Yeah, I still think Southampton are at risk of going down, but there's a few
more that put
their hand
up. Southampton are definitely at risk for being down there, because it's the same problem, goals. With Fulham, unlike the others, Fulham do have a couple of players in Mitrovic, jokes aside, and Schürrle, who are capable of getting to double figures. But if they ain't doing the business, there isn't anybody else in that team I see doing it at all. And that, therefore, they're going to be in trouble if it's dried up. And Monday night, neither of them were particularly good. Huddersfield well deserved to win. Huddersfield do what I say every week they do. They win all the second balls. They're in your face. They fight. It's a difficult place to go and play. You won't have an easy game there at the weekend. It's a tough place to go and play when the crowd's up.
I couldn't agree with you more, especially when it's cold and wet and miserable. It's just not.
And I still think that if they can hang in there and get a goal scorer in January, I think they might stay up.
Mm.
I think they're all right. Billion hit the bar again. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's going to smash one in 1 week, mate.
Phil Billing's priced quite well.
Yeah, but unlike, say, with Dean Garner, you can't stick him in the team, can you?
No, not really.
He's going to sit on your bench. But he's going to smash one in 1 week. He's got a strike on him.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be keeping this moving, and we've been talking for an hour and 10, and we've got fucking a million Twitter questions that we want to get through.
That's an issue.
Let's just talk about last man standing, blank and blank.
Oh, yeah.
2-2. It's still 5-3 to me in last man standing, the weekly game that James and I run, picking a player each and every week.
It's your turn to go first. Are you picking?
Is it? Are we picking now? I thought we might pick on Friday and put it out there.
Why did you fucking even bring it up then?
No, because we it's worth mentioning what happened last weekend.
Oh, right, yeah. All right, we could tweet something out Friday. Bandwagon. Or should we go early? Peak too soon? Or are you unprepared, darling?
I am not unprepared.
He's unprepared.
Let's have a cheeky look. Can I say that we're not allowed to pick players that have already been selected this season, and quite a few have already been selected. It would be easy to opt for a Liverpool player against Fulham.
Get on with it, because I know who I'm picking.
Firmino and Salah and Mane have all already been selected. Are you picking Lamella?
I know who I'm picking. Get on with it.
I am going with... Oh, I'm going to say Felipe Anderson.
Felipe Anderson.
Let's go bold.
This is making for great, great listening and great viewing.
Go make yourselves a cup of tea and come back.
I'll tell you who I thought you were going to say. Because I was really tempted to go Madison. But having had a second glance at this list of players that's been picked, I see no Jamie Vardy on here.
Go for Jamie Vardy then.
I'll be having Jamie Vardy this weekend then.
He might have a little fallout with the manager and be dropped.
I don't think they're falling out of each other's at the football club at the moment, mate. That's not happening, mate.
That's true. Okay, let's see. Jamie Vardy up against Felipe Anderson. Worth a squirt.
Nice.
Right. And
do some Twitter cues, mate.
Let's do it. Before we do, captain for this weekend, you said Salah.
100%.
And for me, is it going to be Mane this weekend as well? Whether or not I make that second transfer, we'll wait and see. I can't really leave two Fulham with Liverpool to play, can I? So, let's talk. We've spoken about Grady Diangana. Most people are talking about Ram being Robertson, Alonso, Mendy with a view to removing one or selling one.
Really?
To upgrade their midfield. Yeah.
Should we just say no to all that right now?
Might be time to move away from one and Ram in order to afford a heavier midfielder in Hazard, Mane, Salah, Sterling.
Who's saying this?
This is FPL Batman. FPL
Batman.
Dark Knight. I feel like essentially it comes down to a choice between having Kun Aguero and Mendy or Kun Aguero and Sterling. Of course, you could downgrade Kun, but that's a big risk.
Yeah, you can go either way. Why does it have to be?
That
doesn't have to be. It's obviously a personal choice for him, I suppose, of which one he goes with Mendy.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it, he's probably got Aguero and Mendy at the moment. And I don't think you should make the move. Just quickly on this, because we kind of highlighted this last week in terms of everyone saying, oh, let's go like 4-5-1 and let's move to premium mids and premium defenders. They all blank. And then what do all the mid-range forwards do? Your Wilsons, Arnautovic, Danny Ings, Jimenez, they all fucking score, don't they?
Yeah.
It will change again this week.
That's the interesting thing with this game. As soon as one game week's finished, you hit reset and it's everyone's back to zero. Yeah. And so what happened last week has absolutely no bearing on what's going to happen this week. Obviously, you pick players of form, but you went from a 29 to 270-point game weeks in a row. What happened last week has no bearing on what's going to happen next week.
The worse your game week, quite often, the less you should change.
The worse your game week. Yeah.
When I had the 29, I didn't make any transfers.
Yeah, I agree with you. You have to kind of look at it. That's a good time to...
It's a levelling out of numbers, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Very, very interesting. Let's do it. FPL underscore Jim had asked a question exactly about this. I didn't think we were going to lead so smoothly into this.
We don't do anything smoothly.
Just looking for some advice on how not to implode after a bad game week. And I think James's advice there and what he said is actually really spot on. Just have a look at the team, because you buy players for a reason. You look at fixtures in blocks. Just sit tight. Don't panic. Keep calm. Carry on.
The problem with that is if Jim's sitting there, say, with Mitrovic and Schürrle like you is, then I'm not saying don't do anything. Like, do something.
No,
all I'm saying
transfer,
is quite often the best cure after a bad game week is to look at the fixtures. And if they still look all right, don't fret. Hmm. Keep it. Like, I love the idea. If I could constantly roll two transfers, if I'm in a position where I'm not forced into an important transfer, I'll make it. I think... If Lascelles was to be out for me this week, then I need to make the change. That's a waste of someone I'm carrying through on an injury, a Newcastle defender, when I can get, say, John Stones in, the fact it's Man United at home wouldn't bother me at all. So I think I would have to make that sort of move. But otherwise, I'm just going to run.
Yeah.
I would love to roll as often as I possibly can, and then you can make the moves to jump between premium forward, premium midfielder, whatever you want to do. Often in a bad game week, you should suck it up and go again. And quite often when you have a really, really good game week is sometimes when you should be making more moves.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the chance of it happening again?
It's statistically probably the same. You used to be
Aguero, we know, averages a goal every 108 minutes or whatever throughout his history of scoring goals. Now, that might come down...
Since he was 4 years old.
Basically. That might come down a little bit over the course of this season, but...
Not by much.
But his FPL returns don't look like they're going to, because he's getting his assists as well.
Yeah, exactly. So. Let's have a little bit of fun. Ronald Weasley's question of the day. He's put a sensible question in. What do you think about switching Salah for Mane and downgrading one of the Ram to free up funds to bulk up midfield? It's what we've just spoke about. For me, Ram are pretty stable and steady in my side, and I want to actually change McCarthy to Ederson. So I've got double City defence, one Liverpool, one Chelsea. And that's a lot of money to have at the back. Someone was saying, forget about Ederson. Ederson is 5.8 million and he scored 60 points. There are no other players from defence, midfield or attack at that price with that points return. None.
The one thing Ederson gives you as well is the security of City coverage. You haven't got to worry about the rotation. It's particularly prominent with them. That's why I've said this plenty of times, I would go Ederson over Alisson if that was a choice you wanted to make. I just think there's enough in the 4.5 goalkeepers not to have to go that way. But it gives you something. I can't argue it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the equivalent of replacing one of your midfielders, potentially. So that leads... Okay, so let's...
Particularly as well when you look at the fixtures this week, I think, why would you make that move now? You know, Chelsea at home to Everton, Liverpool at home to Fulham, City at home to United, they're all at home.
Yeah.
And... they could all return defensive and attacking returns, couldn't they? So it depends what the move is. The one thing I'd highlight from Ron's question there that I think, and I have seen people talking this, and I must stress, don't do this, is going from Salah to Mane or Mane to Salah. Because whichever way you go, the other one will fucking bang.
Yeah, that's very, very true. There's a thing called Sod's Law, and if you haven't heard of it, move from Salah to Mane or Mane to Salah, and you'll find out about Sod's Law this week.
I think you can make that move. Don't do it this week.
No.
Don't do it this week.
Ron wants to know, question of the day. Who would win in a 2-on-2 between Julian Dix and Decanio versus David Ginola and Eric Dier?
I tell you what, David, because he was worth it, he was harder than people. He could have a ruck with you. He was a big lad. So was Eric Dier. Yeah. I mean, your two, they're cut the midgets, really, aren't they?
So you're assuming that this is a 2-on-2 fight.
I thought it
might be a 2-on-2 game of footy, like on a little 5-a-side pitch.
Oh, well, fucking Julian Dix isn't a footballer, is he?
Nah, because if you were going to talk about a 2-on-2, but when you play like 5-a-side, you play 5-a-side, you can score from anywhere. Like the pitch is the side of a flipping penalty box. So Julian Dix had a boot on him, a boot and a half, he could shoot from anywhere. Who would win in a 2-on-2? Between Julian Dix and Decanio versus David Ginola and Eric Dier.
Well, answer both.
One flair player and one defensive player.
Right, well, you ain't getting near Ginola, so the football definitely Ginola.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
Dier will just give it to Ginola. You ain't getting near him, mate.
Yeah, but Decanio and Dix could score from anywhere. And also, it's not somewhere in and around my desk you see in the picture of me and my boy and Julian Dix holding up the FA Cup. So Julian Dix, my favourite West Ham player of all time. Any question that has
Is
Julian
that picture
Dix
in black
answer,
and white or...?
Any question with Julian Dix in the answer, I'm going to side with Julian Dix.
I think the fight, Decanio and Dix would have a chance if it was a fight.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a bit mental. One would be kicking and biting and David Ginola would be worried about his hair.
Plus, if it was 2-on-2 football, one of them two pillocks of yours would get sent off first.
Quite possibly. That is true. It's not a game that I'd feel safe in the stands watching, put it that way. Interesting. And we spoke briefly about it where I spoke about Ederson and Mendy and doubling up. But we did have a question from FPL_Claret, Claret FPL. Any teams you'd double up on defensively? The answer for me would be City and Liverpool and then probably Wolves. And the reason Wolves is because of the price of the Wolves defenders stroke goalkeeper. But for me, City defensively, 7 clean sheets out of 11 so far, and they should have probably had a couple more if it wasn't for sloppiness. I'm comfortable doubling up defensively on City.
That's interesting, that. I think I'd more Liverpool. Mm. I still feel like that. I think maybe as well because Liverpool don't really feel that they've clicked into gear going forward. That's, I mean, the goals
yeah,
City,
they haven't been as
the goals City are scoring is already on a par of sort of what they were doing. You know, 6 against Huddersfield, 6 again at the weekend, 5 against Burnley. They're already doing to teams what we... Liverpool haven't had a game like that, really. 4-1 yeah. Cardiff. Not really had a game where they've smashed it like a few that City have. So I'd be more keen to go to 2 defensive Liverpool because you've got the extra 1 attacking you can have from City then.
Yeah, fair play. Next question is primarily aimed at you. Well, MUFC99, but spelt out EM, blah, 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 blah.
He's probably
blah, blah,
happy with May United's 1999 treble win, I should presume.
Asks a question about wild cards, and you are a man who still has your wild card in your wallet.
Aye.
How beneficial is having a wild card in hand? How many points do you think it's worth? I don't know if I like the second half of that question. Oh. How many points do you think it's worth? But how beneficial is it? I mean, it's pretty beneficial.
Massively. Because as well, and this is why I kind of want to go around sort of game weeks 15, 16 in terms of when I use it, although I'm reluctant to use it. The best time to use it, I feel, is during... There's a set of fixtures midweek and then the weekend. And actually between that Wednesday and the Saturday looks like the best time to use it. But I don't want to use it then because, A, it's going to be so volatile in that 48 hours in terms of transfers. And also haven't got enough time really to make informed decisions, especially when I'm not going to see full highlights of all the midweek games, etc. That looks like the best fixture swing is that midweek to that weekend, though, particularly for Arsenal. Who then go from, say, Man United away to Huddersfield at home and then great yeah. fixtures. United's fixtures look good. Southampton got Spurs at home that midweek, then Leicester away. I think it's still, like you said, quite template-y at the moment. And Spurs, Arsenal, United are not really under too much consideration. I think the weapon of the wild card is if I can then move to the right ones there, that puts me in a very good position.
Let's talk about this fixture swing. It's something that's quite new in the community. It was on the radar, but it's suddenly something that was bubbling in the background that now everyone seems to be talking about. Fixture swing. There's all these terms that seem to crop up that I never really paid attention to before, but now
you don't normally pay attention.
The fixture swing is coming.
Yeah, it's coming. We see a national break after this weekend, so when is it coming?
No, I was asking you because you know most about swinging. Boom, boom.
You're a dickhead.
Oh, dear. Should we find another question?
Yeah.
talking about game week 16 fixture swings, how does it affect short-term bandwagons? And that's coming in from AD Baby at AD Baby, who's Adrian Farouk on the old Twitter.
Oof. You answer that.
Well,
I'm still thinking about swinging.
James has left the building. I'm not one for bandwagons particularly. I don't like 1 week punts. I don't like short term punts. I didn't agree with people getting on Barkley. I'm not a fan of people getting on Martial so soon. Having said that, Martial did return again. Barkley, what happened to him? I think he got subbed off.
I picked him for last man standing. He was always going to flop.
I don't know. How does it affect? I don't really know. How does it affect short term bandwagons? With the fixture swing coming?
It doesn't.
No.
Particularly?
I'm still concerned about Aaron Ramsey not getting the minutes.
There's certain players that are fixture-proof, right? City players are fucking... It doesn't matter who they're playing. It's almost an irrelevance. Oh, City got Chelsea away this week. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You can still do to them what they do to anybody if they're at it on their day.
They haven't conceded a goal against the other big six yet.
Exactly. So... Yeah, there's some players that are fixture proof to it, and it wouldn't concern me.
Mm. And should we wrap up with one final question? I'm just looking down the list now. You know what? This week, for most compared to any other game week, was the most concentrated in terms of the same questions coming through again and again and again. Salah and Mane, Grady the Ngana, and then looking at some of the Spurs replacements and Spurs players coming back in terms of Dele Alli and Eriksen.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So where's the fucking question?
There are none. Okay, let's leave it with this one. What's your best ever game week score in your FPL career? And when was it?
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
I think I know the week. It would have been the last double game week before we started the podcast. Game week 37 of, I think it would have been 15, 16. Yeah. If you're asking me the score I got, the honest 16, answer is I have. Correct, yeah. If you're asking me the number I got, I have absolutely no idea. It was about 140, I think.
Tidy number.
It could have been 120. I think I certainly did the bench boost. I captained Sanchez, and I think he had 4 or 5 attacking returns. But it were others who'd had sort of 170, 180 that week because Kane had got 5. If you had like Kane and Sanchez, you'd had like 10 attacking returns between the two of them. Also, yeah. Something fucking unbelievable. There was that double game with some massive monster scores. And that's worth remembering when you consider how pony the double game weeks were last year.
Yeah, true. For me, it was 112, which was the blank game week.
The famous Salah free hit.
Yeah, Salah. I didn't have a free hit with Salah.
No, but you did your free hit, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. I worked my team towards it and then I wildcarded after. No, you're right. I wildcarded before and a free hit. You are.
I'm not saying what you did with your team, but I'm saying what you did with your team.
Salah scored 56 points out of my 112 or something stupid like that.
It's the same for everybody, yeah. In fact.
So 112 was my highest ever. I mean, it's interesting because we were talking to a couple of other podcasts, were asking questions and what have you. I don't have an FPL career. Like, people are, what's your FPL career like? Last season was my first full fucking season. Every other year before that, I've quit by Christmas.
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting. I don't really have a back catalogue.
I think we can share it. I've only really played for 4 or 5 years. And it was only really that season that I'm talking about. I finished 20K, basically.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of taken it seriously since we'd done the podcast.
Yeah.
I never thought about it too much.
The last year, I managed to get into the top 275K, 274 something, something, something. Previous year, 3.1 million. Previous year, 1.8 million. I never topped more than 1,800 points previously, which is low. I never crossed the 2,000 barrier. But then I didn't play. I wasn't playing the game. I'd given up.
What's your excuse now?
For being only 2 points behind you at the moment?
Yeah, it's all right.
Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. Any more for any more?
So because we've talked so much, I've now got to respond to 99 Twitter questions.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the fixtures.
Yeah, sorry. We went on a bit. Sorry, shit happens.
We hope it's interesting.
I think it's because we're only doing kind of one pod at the moment a week.
Yes.
We're yapping too much.
We are. But the good thing about the fixtures that we went through this week was that it wasn't like 40% West Ham, 40% Tottenham and 20% everything else.
I'll tell you what we'll do next week. Are you about Monday?
Am I around on Monday? I am.
We'll review the games Monday, and then during that 2 week, we'll just have a Twitter pod.
Bits and pieces going along.
Yeah, we'll literally just have a Twitter pod.
The date next Monday is the 12th. We're going to be locking it in. So no Twitter questions next Monday. It'll be just an hour or so reviewing game week 12.
Yeah, you can have Twitter questions. You just probably won't get fucking
covered.
Yeah,
we won't get through them, but we'll probably put out lots more little bits and pieces of content, maybe even a bit of Twitter Live.
Ooh.
There was... There were so many tweets of, when you hear someone's voice and then you don't know what they look like. Yeah.
I realised that.
And I didn't know who that was aimed at, you or me.
I think it was more aimed at me.
Because there's a lot of photos of me on the old internet.
There was a lot of people who had a lot more love for me after the Twitter video, seeing my receding hairline, etc.
So that was quite amusing. So we'll make now that the secret's out of the bag, we'll go on camera more.
We have done this before.
What, video?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but those are the old days when we weren't famous.
Oh, fuck off, Sid.
Indeed. Right, okay. Game week 12, Saturday morning deadline as usual, 11:30.
Cardiff Brighton.
Yeah, interesting game. I haven't got any players from any of those sides. So
no, we'll all be on fucking zero that. 2 o'clock, won't we?
So yeah, good luck if you are making your transfers and all the rest of it. If you don't need to, it is a nice feeling going into international break with two transfers. Roll it if you want to. Make your moves if you do. Just nobody buy Callum Wilson before the end of today because or tomorrow because I don't want his price to go up.
Yeah, roll it, smoke it, eat it.
Yeah, and just one big caveat, listeners. If we're not here on Monday for James's personal reasons...
It's her fucking fault.
It's her fault. Her indoors. And that's it. Ciao for now.
Good luck, everyone. Cue music, man, child.
Happy Diwali.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.